This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
California prison inmates hunger strike for their lives.
Nearly 29,000 inmates in California state prisons have refused meals during a protest of prison conditions and rules. The protest extended to two-thirds of the 33 prisons across the state and all four private out-of-state facilities where California sends inmates.
Thousands of prisoners also refuse to attend their work assignments, and state officials are bracing for a long-term strike. The protest is centered on the state's aggressive solitary confinement practices, but has attracted support from many prisoners with their own demands for changes in prison conditions.
And with us now are our two guests, Dolores Canales, who's a member of the California Families to Abolish Solitary Confinement. She's an advisory board member of CURV, Californians United for a Responsible Budget, and Lives Worth Saving Gang Intervention, and she is a mother of a Pelican Bay Shoe prisoner, Special Housing Unit prisoner, and Carol Strickman, an attorney with Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, member of the Prisoner Hunger Strike Solidarity Coalition, and member of the team mediating between the prison hunger strikers and prison authorities, and part of the litigation team in Asher versus Brown, a case challenging solitary confinement in California prisons. And frankly, if those credentials don't say enough, I don't know what is, but suffice it to say that both of these women have spent an extraordinary amount of time and energy dealing with a critical problem within our society that has certainly not gotten enough attention. And welcome to WBAI.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Dolores, your relationship to Pelican Bay begins with the incarceration of a family member. Tell us about that, and tell us about what your experience and understanding of the conditions that he faces are.
Yes, my son is being held in the security housing unit. He has been. It's going on 13 years now. He is a, you know, self-proclaimed jailhouse lawyer, which many of the prisoners that do have this gift of legal knowledge, and they want to challenge the system, not just on their own behalf, but on behalf of other prisoners, they end up a lot of times in solitary confinement. And the reasoning for placement is oftentimes for innocuous and arbitrary reasons. They don't have to have any actual rules violations of gang activity within the prison. It's, you know, number of things that they use, and they piece together and say, oh, this is, you know, what we're using right here. But a lot of it, though, is so, you know, a drawing, a card that somebody else sent in, you know, or another prisoner's statement against them, which they never have the right to question. They never have the right to challenge any of the material that's used against them, so that makes it even more complex. But for my personal, getting involved with this, my personal involvement with all this, you know, of course, does come from a heartfelt passion that just drives me just every day when I think of the deprivation, the sensory deprivation, you know, no human contact, no sunlight, absolutely everything that comes with the conditions of solitary confinement. And even now, more recently, they've just released a study showing, you know, the brain activity and just how damaging this is to the brain. So, you know, there's so many reasons of my involvement for my son and just because of these conditions of confinement alone.
Carol, if you could go further into the conditions of confinement, because I don't think everybody really understands what solitary confinement means for a person, what the cell is like, what kinds of restrictions are involved. What does it mean in California when you're in solitary confinement?
And by the way, you should build into this because the Bureau of Prisons of California maintains this is not a situation of solitary confinement.
Right, that's what they say. They don't want to admit it. Dolores' son is in Pelican Bay, and that's the prison that I know about the most. It's, I think, generally accepted to be the harshest of the prisons that have solitary confinement as far as the SHU is concerned, security housing unit. The cells there, they're less than 8 by less than 12 feet. It's all concrete, concrete floors, walls, ceilings. Even there's a slab that comes out from the wall that's concrete, and you have a very thin mattress. Pelican Bay is in Crescent City, almost at the border with Oregon, and it's very rainy and it's very cold. And so these cells that are concrete, that are especially those that are on the exterior wall, which is about two-thirds of them, it gets just bone cold at nights and during the day sometimes. And so the doors are steel with little holes. You can't use both eyes at the same time to look out. And you're locked in there sometimes 24 hours a day. They get to go out for showers for about 10 or 15 minutes, three times a week, I believe. And there's an exercise room. Some people call it a yard. The prison calls it a yard. If you look at this, the word yard would not pop in your mind. It's a concrete floor, walls, and the ceiling is up pretty high. There's a plastic roof over part of it, and there's a patch of sky that you can see the other part. It's pretty much a room, like an exercise room, like a gym or something, that has natural light, but you don't see a tree, or anything. So people end up in these cells. They are completely deprived of nature, and they're completely deprived of meaningful contact with other human beings. They may get a family visit from time to time. Many don't. If they do, they leave their pod, which is where these things are, their cell, their shower, and the exercise room, they have to, drip and squat and cough to ensure that they don't have anything hidden in their bottoms. And then they go, and they may have a visit for no more than an hour and a half on a weekend day through glass or plastic. They can't touch their loved ones. And the same thing is true for legal visits. We are not in a position where we can touch or hug our clients. And we're talking on the phone, and, at the end, you put your hand up to the glass and your hands touch through you have your hands mock touching, and that's the best you can do. There's no phone calls. The amount of property is very limited. The one thing is they may have a TV or a radio if they can afford to buy them, but they can have a limited number of personal property. The medical care is poor. The food is terrible. And it's just a very desolate kind of life. It's noisy at night. Sleep deprivation is rampant. And, you're deprived of sleep for years. It really, can do something to you. So it's a pretty terrible situation for anybody to be in.
Dolores, it would seem to me, given what you've described and what Carol has described, that there could not possibly not be really profound psychological suffering and really exacerbated, debilitating physical ailments as well. I mean, people are essentially minimally in their cells 22 hours a day, if not more, in this cramped, concrete, windowless environment. Tell us about what you have gleaned from your son and what you understand about the psychological deprivation that is inherent to this kind of, I would say, and we'll get to that with Carol, really cruel and inhuman, indeed torturous treatment.
Yes, well, I've already noticed just since my son did spend 10 years in the Corcoran solitary confinement, and then he was just recently shipped over here to the Pelican Bay 2.5 years ago, and already his hands and his arms, they're white. He's so light-complected. He's already lost, all skin coloring. And, also his eyes, I noticed, because the doors, it's three concrete walls in their cell, and no window, nothing, just the three cement slabs, and then a big metal door in front of their, that's what the door is, a metal door, but with dime-sized holes. And then if they look out this door, all they see is a slab of cement. There's not cells across from them. And so when they do go look out the door, to talk to an officer or whatever, they're always with one eye closed and one eye open to look out that little dime-sized hole. And my son has, he has very, very strong prescription glasses, and they're already telling him that now he needs eye surgery. And one thing you will notice, when you go visit and you're walking down the corridor of the visiting booths, all the men sitting there are wearing like these big, thick glasses, and they're all, you know, that they all have that like ghostly, translucent look where you could see like their veins, you know, through their body. They're not just like light complected. They've become translucent in skin color. And you know, I noticed when I was talking to my son, I was telling him, look at me in my eyes, you know, because his eyes will like look down. But the thing is he has not looked at another human being in so long, just to look at somebody in their face and hold a normal conversation. So during those short visiting times, it's not really enough even for that short of, you know, human contact. And there was, just as I was saying, the comprehensive new study by Brandon Keem. He put it, it's in Wired Science, and it's titled The Horrible Psychology of Solitary Confinement. You know, to where there, they do show, you know, the brain and the effects on the brain. But yet, California continues to say that it's not torturous, it doesn't cause psychological effects. But even most recently, there was a 384-page report put out by Dr. Patterson, and it was literally showing like one suicide a month while in solitary confinement, as the count came out of a comprehensive study of suicide in solitary.
Carol, going into this as an attorney, this isn't the first litigation, but the present litigation, I assume, is being brought under Eighth Amendment grounds, that it's unconstitutional, that this is cruel and inhuman punishment. So tell us about where things are in terms of the litigation, because also what's so interesting is while the society has become more conscious of the numbers of people that are from the school to the prison pipeline, if you will, they're certainly less conscious of what is taking place in our country's prisons, and frankly, that includes New York State and solitary and Rikers Island and so on. Do tell us about the litigation.
Well, you're right. This is filed under the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, cruel and unusual punishment, and we're alleging that 10 years or more in solitary confinement at Pelican Bay constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. There's already a ruling from a federal judge when this prison opened up after 1989, finding that 3 years, it wasn't established that 3 years was cruel and unusual punishment in his eyes. So this is a follow-up lawsuit to that case. That was the Madrid case. And we are going to be proving that, 10 years is definitely cruel and unusual punishment. There's another component to the case, and that filed under the 14th Amendment, and that's due process violations for the procedures that get you into the SHU and keep you in there, and the kind of evidence and the lack of meaningful review. So there's sort of two components to the case, and we expect to be successful on both.
Dolores, I understand there was a strike a number of years ago, 2 years ago, I think. This one is much bigger. Can you tell us what the demands of the strikers are and the extent of the strike and whether it's growing?
And that, of course, is a hunger strike as well as the refusal of work assignments.
Well, there was a hunger strike. The first one was on July 1st, 2011, where at that time it was, I think the number was 6,000 prisoners across 13 prisons in the state of California. And then the second one took place on September 26, 2011. And at that time, I think it got up to 12,000 prisoners. And then now here, most recently, this third one, I know it was 30,000 prisoners. And now the numbers have dropped, but I'm not sure of the actual number because I can only go by the updates the CDC is giving at this point. And I'm not sure. I think the last time that I looked, it was down to 7,000, but there might be a new update on that. And so, you know, they are, and this is, you know, like I said, we can only go by, you know, what they're giving us is to not have that access inside the prisons, and I am not sure. I cannot give a correct number on the work strike. But, you know, one thing that I do know is I honestly feel that, and believe me, I mean, I don't want any of them to be on a strike, especially my son. I don't want any of them to have to, you know, starve themselves to death. But when you see this and you see that CDC continues to justify the use of solitary confinement, and most recently Terry Thornton went on Al Jazeera News and is literally quoted as saying, "We don't have solitary confinement." I mean, I could still hear her words.
Who is she? Terry Thornton?
Terry Thornton. She's the spokesperson for California Department of Corrections. And she's on video saying that statement. And it's just like, as a mom that knows her son is being held in solitary confinement, and you hear that, and it just rings through my ears every day. I could hear her voice. And, you know, even where she says, well, you know, they can have a watch cap, and to think that they're starving themselves for this cause, when just most recently the California bishops have issued a statement to Governor Brown and Mr. Beard stating that they stand, you know, with the prisoner hunger strike, and they're against the isolation policies. And it turns out they've been dealing with this issue for 12 years. You know, you look at these people that have been involved for over a decade trying to bring recognition, and never was there any until the prisoners took this initiative and chose to risk their very own lives that they are being punished for. I just want to also state that they are getting documented a serious rules violation report for being on a hunger strike, too.
And, Carol, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, you know, particularly since Dolores mentioned Al Jazeera, I thought about the hunger strike that's been going on in a very, very severe and critical stage at Guantanamo by the prisoners there. But they've given indication that they really fully intend to crack down on people. So aside from the broader litigation on the 8th and 14th Amendment, what is likely to happen to these men? Would there be conceivably force feedings? I mean, the organization is remarkable and really a tribute to their power to be incarcerated and create this kind of unanimity. It's also, I guess, a statement of just how dire the conditions are. But what can you expect to happen to them from the CDC?
Well, we can expect all kinds of retaliation. You know, as Dolores mentioned, there can be 115s, which are accusations of a serious rule violation. They can lose various privileges when that happens. They have threatened to, and they may very well, we think they are, rounding up certain prisoners that they feel are the greatest threats and putting them into administrative segregation without any property, and which is even more isolated than their ordinary shoe cells. We heard of one prisoner who was not even allowed to take his vitamins with him, although the medical authorities say if you're going to go on hunger strike, you ought to take vitamins. And he had some, but he couldn't take them, from what I've heard. Last time, 2 years ago, when they did this, they put people in the 15 prisoners in the administrative segregation and cranked up the air conditioning at the end of September, which is cooler around here, and they were freezing. They said it was like Arctic air coming through, and you know, they're already cold. You know, their blankets are very thin, and you know, one of the demands at that time was for a watch cap, a little cap, so that they could stay a little bit warmer. And which they did achieve that. So we don't really know. There was a report that we heard that possibly people were being placed on contraband surveillance watch, potty watch, which is really a torturous affair where you're kind of constrained for 3 days while they're waiting to see if you're going to, you know, waiting for your bowel movements to see if you have any contraband. And it's a very painful and humiliating procedure. And I hope that's not happening, but we did get we heard a report that it might be happening to some people. So that's another concern. There can be, you know, cell changes. You know, people end up with relationships with people that are near them. People can be moved. You know, we've seen some of that in the past. There's a number of things that can happen.
And what I'd like to also know is just contextualize this, because we're looking most critically at Pelican Bay, but the issue of solitary confinement and these kind of grotesque conditions, which to some degree were supposed to be remedied since the last litigation and certainly haven't, how prevalent is that?
Well, in California, there's somewhere around 10 to 12,000 people in solitary confinement of adults. The SHU, Secured Housing Unit, are about 4,000 or so. Pelican Bay has about, you know, 1,100 prisoners. So Pelican Bay is only maybe a tenth of the numbers of prisoners who are in solitary confinement. But it is, you know, the harshest conditions, and it is, does seem to be reserved for people that they really don't like. And that's why they call it, for prisoners are the worst of the worst. Well, I don't by that. But the prison is the worst of the worst, and so other people are, most of them, I think, are in for less time than those prisoners who end up getting transferred up to Pelican Bay.
What do we do to build support and eradicate these conditions? Certainly, we support the Center for Constitutional Rights in its lawsuit, which you are optimistic about, and that's great. What do we do who are listening to support primarily our brothers, but not exclusively, that are being held in solitary in the prisons of this country?
People can go on our blog, which is prisonerhungerstrikesolidarity.wordpress.com. We're doing a call-in to Governor Jerry Brown, asking people within the state and outside of the state to call in and tell him to meet the demands of the prisoners and end long-term solitary confinement. So that's something we're doing, and all week long, and, you know, really throughout this period until we have a positive resolution. So that's one thing. Certainly sending donations. We send legal teams up, and we send, we have rallies where we, you know, are renting buses and whatnot. There's all kinds of ways to support us financially. And just stay informed and talk it up, because, you know, the problem has been, as you've mentioned earlier, that not enough people know about this. So, but we are feeling that that's starting to turn, and we're very grateful for that. And the more people can do, and we have occasionally we'll have a day, you know, where we're asking people to do something. There have been banner drops, there's been vigils, there's been, you know, people leafleting. And so there's just any, and then send us pictures and show us what you're doing, because that inspires us, whether you're here in California or across the country or around the world, you know, anywhere. It makes us feel like we're being heard, and that it's inspiring to everyone.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, and we want people to understand what happens in Pelican Bay, is a situation that is happening right here at Rikers Island and across the country, and it has to be addressed. And thanks to Dolores Canales, a member of the California Families to Abolish Solitary Confinement, Carol Strickman, attorney with the Legal Services for Prisoners with Children.
My name is Marie Levin. My brother has been locked in solitary confinement for 29 plus years. The last time I was able to touch my brother was in 1982.
La prisión estatal de Pelican Bay anunciaron el inicio de una huelga de hambre.
Thousands of inmates have been on hunger strike for almost 2 weeks.
The Pelican Bay Short Corridor prisoners began a hunger strike that spread across the state of California, uniting all racial lines, uniting all differences, and coming together in unity to bring awareness to their conditions of confinement.
And long-term confinement,
in-group punishment and administrative abuse,
abolish the debriefing policy and modify gang status criteria,
provide adequate and nutritious food,
create and expand constructive programming.
There are some things that we cannot do. Some of the other things, like a calendar, a cap, those are things that actually may be doable. But I don't know that we're going to be pressured or coerced into doing these things.
Federal law prohibits research chimpanzees to be held in solitary confinement.
Torture is torture. It's not justifiable for anybody in this society.
Some of these prisoners reportedly are in horrible health.
Most have reportedly lost between 20 to 25 pounds.
We are starting to see physical effects that you would see of starvation.
These men are killing themselves potentially for fresh air and sunlight.
There's a core group of us who are committed to taking this all the way to the death if necessary. None of us want to do this, but we feel like we have no other option.
Coalition. coalition is acting in solidarity to amplify the voices of the prisoners.
Do something more than just be a spectator, than just be a symbolic activist.
One of the main requests that the prisoners made was for support on the outside. There's been people that have been working around the clock to gain the most basic of human rights for these prisoners.
That they won't even approach the negotiating table in the name of saving human life is unforgivable, and it is intolerable. This is going to be a success. It's not going to happen unless people get involved. The bottom line is these strikers are fighting for their humanity. They're us.
The power that people have outside is numbers.
Tell a friend. Let them tell a friend.
Whether it's through a prayer, whether it's through handing out leaflets, make it big.
If you can participate and help now, you can stop the upcoming generation that might be your family that can be behind walls going through the same exact thing.
My brother's 55th birthday, we will be going down to Corcoran State Prison to rally. I'm going to join in the rally, and I'm asking you to do the same.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.